Next presentation, total and bioavailable metals in a mechanically produced compost with the addition of waste gypsum wallboard. Christopher Richards.
Good afternoon. My name is Christopher Richards. I'm a Master's of Science candidate at the Nova Scotia Agricultural College in Truro, Nova Scotia, in the Engineering Division. My supervisor is Dr. Gordon Price. Just as an introduction, waste gypsum wallboard currently takes up about 20% of the waste that's delivered to construction and demolition sites in the province of Nova Scotia. Most of this is from a mixture of not just new construction, but also renovated and demolition debris. This comes from a variety of places, which could be older homes, older businesses, new construction, a whole raft of things. And we're looking at just the wallboard that's received at the C&D site. So this is a mixture. It's not just clean stuff. I should mention that this is a first stage of the four stages of my master's project. So. Currently in Nova Scotia, one of the problems is there's few avenues for use of this material other than landfill. Some of the concerns that are with wallboard is, as it is demolition waste, you don't know where a lot of this wallboard is coming from. In the province of Nova Scotia, it was quite common to use lead-based paints before the 1970s, so this could become a component of the compost. There's also increasingly finding contaminants coming from paint products that are coming from offshore. And one of the new concerns that is coming out is with synthetic gypsum. A lot of the gypsum wallboard manufacturers now are using synthetic gypsum. This is gypsum, sometimes called FDG, from flugrass desulfurization. Because of this scrubbing process to remove sulfur from the combustion gases, you can also trap metallic contaminants that are also in the gas stream. And this could become part of the gypsum itself. Okay, so my study objectives were to determine the influence of waste gypsum wallboard as a compost additive. One of the concerns is the gypsum itself is really not advantageous to the composting process, but we don't want to add anything to a compost that changes its classification. Nova Scotia follows the Canadian Council of Ministers Environment's recommendations for metal levels in compost products. In that, it specifies two levels. One is a class one and class two. Class 1 is unrestricted use, class 2 is restricted. If you added the gypsum to the compost mixture and it moved from a class 1 to a class 2, would one have a very disadvantage to the producer of the compost, and it would have a financial implication as well. We use two extraction methods to determine the two levels. For total metals, use a nitric acid hydrogen peroxide block digester. And bioavailables is Mellage 3. In the province of Nova Scotia, Mellage 3 is a commonly used extraction method for available metals for cropping systems. The in-vessel composter I use is a mechanical composting unit consisting of 365 liters in volume. The mixes used were approximately half of the volume of the mixer. The mixer has a variable frequency drive. It's a constant spinning, very low RPMs. Two compost mixes were used, one without wallboard and one with 40% wallboard. That's a much higher percentage of wallboard than you'd typically find in a compost mixture, but as this was a preliminary component of the project, we wanted it to use to emphasize any potential metal problems that may exist further on down the line for the future studies. The mixtures were used were a combination of municipal biosolids, untreated municipal biosolids, and straw. And the second mixture was, again, biosolids, straw, and wallboard. The wallboard used in this case was crushed wallboard. Was crushed through a mechanical crusher to about a 3/4 inch minus in size. The paper was not removed. This was supplied by a local construction and demolition site that collects most of the wallboard in the Metro Halifax area, Nova Scotia, the largest urban unit, Nova Scotia. So what we're looking for here is a comparison not only of the total metals that are in these two compost mixtures, but also the bioavailable metals. currently in Nova Scotia, under the regulations, there are only tests for total metals, but we're also looking at what influence the gypsum wallboard may have on the bioavailable metals as well. So these are the results of zinc, copper, and lead for these samples. These are the six-week samples taken from the compost operation. Just as a note to yourselves, where it says C, this is the control. This is the mix that does not contain wallboard. And the W is the mix that contains wallboard. The red bars are for total metals, and the blue bars are for bioavailable metals. It's interesting to note here that right away it shows some differences between the wallboard compost and the biosolids compost, where we have higher levels of zinc in the biosolids than we do in the wallboard. Copper is also higher, but as almost expected, the lead is slightly higher in the wallboard compost than it is in the non-wallboard compost. The bioavailable metals sort of follow the same trend here as it does for the total metals, much reduced in values, of course, but it's still the same trends are also there. Looking on to some other metals, here we have chromium, nickel, cobalt, and cadmium. It's interesting to note here that, especially in the wallboard compost here, the cadmium level is 3.5 parts per million. These are all based on dry weight. The level for a class A is actually 3. So in this case, this compost would be over the national allowable limit. So that is an area of concern. It was the only metal on this level besides mercury, which isn't presented here, which was over the limit. What is interesting here, though, is if we look at the bioavailable metals, they don't really follow the same trends for these particular series of metals, where almost in all cases, there's, except for chromium, there's no significant difference between the bioavailable metals and the two different mixes. Looking at this information in a slightly different way, in this case what we have here is the wallboard compost for the metals are in blue and the controls are in red. This is a comparison of percentage of the bioavailable metals to the total metals to get a comparison of the two. Like how much of each metal is bioavailable compared to the total metal for that particular sample. So we can see here some metals are lower in the wall percentage in the wallboard, and some are actually higher in the control. So what we found, there is significant differences. There shows to be a decrease in the zinc, cadmium, and lead in wallboard compost compared to non-wallboard, while at the same time we see an increase in nickel and chromium in the same compost, and not much of a difference in copper, or not significant difference in copper and cobalt. This could mean that if you have a mix that may be higher in one of these metals, say zinc or copper, you could use gypsum to reduce the amount of available metals in that mix. To this day, this information is fairly premature at this time. The other components of this study that will be carried on is one is a leaching trial using lysimeter cells to determine the movement of metals out of the compost into soils and into water. And then the next component from that, which is underway right now, is actual full-scale windrows to determine this, if this information follows through from the lab experiment right into a real-world example. I'd just like to thank one of my sponsors, the governments of Canada and Nova Scotia, with a growing forward sponsorship of my master's program, the RFB, the Recycling Recovery Fund Board of Nova Scotia, which is in charge of all the waste materials in Nova Scotia, and Halifax C&D Recycling for providing materials for this project. Thank you.
We have time for questions.
Yes.
When you get the crushed material,
yes.
Did you say how big the size?
It's about 3/4 inch minus in size. So they play, what they do is they crush it through a conventional crusher and then put it through a Trumbull screen.
It acts
fairly slowly in the compost, but we have the more long-term windrowing going on now to determine that. In the mechanical compost, because of the mechanical nature of the in-vessel composter, things break down very rapidly. So it's not a true compost. It's sort of like a mechanical break, more of a mechanical breakdown than a biological breakdown. Yes, sir.
How do you control moisture and air movement in that composter?
In that composter, there is an exhaust fan on that, so if there is fumes, because it's inside a building, we didn't want that. But every week, samples were taken and tested for moisture, and the moisture was adjusted back to the original moisture. Yes? Yeah, for the mechanical compost, it was only two mixes. It was 40% in that mix. But the further studies, yeah, there are very specific amounts of wallboard that's going into each compost mix. Yeah.
I guess the reason I'm asking that is the elements or the metals, you know, lead, etc. Mm-hmm. You get for the total, sometimes where you add wallboard, it's numerically higher.
Yes. It definitely could be. One of the real components of this study, as I mentioned at the start, we added much more wallboard than would ever be added in a typical composting operation, just to show us areas of concern for future studies. Because right off the bat, if we see nothing, you're sort of doing a lot of work for not much knowledge. So.
Any additional questions?
Thank you.